and blow the trumpets in Zion. I am Zephnet, Pontia L. You are in the Royal Priesthood Bible Prayer and Fellowship Room. Thank you for coming in. Listen to this. Well, we want to thank you. We got a long way to go tonight. We're going to jump right in tonight with our discussion because of we're running a little bit late. There are people who are trying to get in on the line but cannot. I bid you greetings, peace, shalom, and hotep to all of you who are in the BBS radio audience and in the royal priesthood room on this evening. We're going to jump right in. We're going to talk about a couple of subjects tonight. Yom Kippur, September the 23rd, 2015, along with talking about Isaac Newton's prophecy and prediction concerning this particular date and his fascination for prophecy as an Advent prophecy student who worked out mathematical equations, believing that there was some mathematical code inside of the Bible that we read. He was a believe it or not, he was a student of Bible prophecy. Now, we're also going to talk about the CERN Hadron Collider or Particle Accelerator that is in Europe that has been catching much of the news. We're going to try to deal a little bit with that tonight. But we're going to start off tonight with a passage in the Bible. And I make no excuses. Some have said that you know, this is too complicated, too complex, and should be broken down. But I'm not going to make excuses justify that, because those complaints are coming from people who should know this Bible, who should understand these passages that we give. And so I'm just going to go for it tonight. And the first thing I want to do tonight is to show you how these scriptures, and in particular, the feast of Israel, are based upon cosmic precession. And they're based upon the precession of the equinox and also the sun moving in its ecliptic as it impacts and what effects that has, upon the earth. So I'm going to try, first of all, to show you that what you see in the Bible is cosmological. And I've chosen a passage of scripture out of the book of Revelation, one of the books they told us never to tackle when we were in school. But it is a 12th chapter, and I'm going to jump right in tonight because we have a lot of information we want to give you, and we do know we're in competition with the playoffs tonight. So, having said that, this is more important than the playoffs in my mind. Chapter 12 in the book of Revelation, beginning at verse 1, there is a passage here that says, and it reads as thusly. It says, "And there appeared a great wonder in heaven." First of all, we know we're looking for heaven. John, the person who was assigned as the author of this particular book in our Bible, is on the island of Patmos, and he says he saw a great wonder in heaven. So now we're looking at heaven. Let me find that noise right quick. Okay.
All callers are muted and they can unmute themselves.
Okay. Now, this wonder is in heaven. So automatically I'm looking above me and I'm looking to the heavens or to the heaven where this wonder is appeared. And he says, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. Now, let me just kind of deal with that to show you how that is a constellation of stars in the heavens or in the skies cosmologically. Now, my point again, I repeat for the second time, is to show you that these feasts that Israel have, and in particular the one that we're discussing tonight, Yom Kippur, which is September the 23rd, has become a part of prophecy. Isaac Newton talked about it. There's much discussion going on about it for a lot of reasons. But I want to show you that this is based upon cosmology. And this particular passage, it says, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet and upon her head, crown of 12 stars. Now, that is the constellation of Virgo. And what you need to know about that, now, first of all, constellation of Virgo is a virgin or a woman, and it's a body of stars that make up that particular constellation. And it says that she is clothed with the sun, and the moon is under her feet. Well, during the time of Virgo, in mid-August or latter part of August, in September, you will notice that the moon is under the constellation of Virgo in the eastern horizon, and the sun is clothing this woman. Now, of course, there's some esoteric interpretations of this, and I'm going to get into a little bit of that. But now the crown of 12 stars that are depicted on her head, there's a constellation called Coma Berenices, and it consists of three stars. And then there's Leo, which is right above the constellation of Virgo, consisting of nine. Nine and three is 12. Now, those three stars and nine stars make up the 12 stars that are on the head of Virgo, the constellation that is in the heaven. That is your woman clothed with the sun. Now, there's a meaning to this, and I'll come back to that in just a moment. And she's with a child, and she's travailing in birth, as verse number 2, and pained to be delivered, and there appeared another wonder in heaven, behold, a great red dragon, having seven heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his head. Now, that's Draco, the dragon, or the constellation of Draco. That's the constellation of Draco, which is a body of stars in the sky. This dragon that you see in the 12th chapter is actually a constellation of stars. Now, Hercules, of course, is wrestling with this dragon, and Hercules is depicted or as a body of stars in the heavens as well, and that's Michael, the archangel. So listen, and there it says there appeared another wonder, this great red dragon. And his tail drew a third of the stars and did cast him to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. She brought forth a man child to rule all the nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up to the throne of God. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she had a place prepared, that they should feed her there 1,260 days. And there was war in heaven. And Michael, archangel, there is Hercules, the constellation of Hercules. And his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought against his angel and prevailed not. Neither was that place found anymore in heaven. Now, there's another constellation called Serpent Clauda, which wraps itself around the third of the stars in the Milky Way. This is another particular body of stars that is depicted as a serpent or a dragon that is cast down. Now, this particular dragon is cast down to the feet of Libra. Libra, the woman who holds the balances, is about to give birth to a son or a man child that is to rule the world. Libra is justice. Now, right with Libra is a shepherd holding a rod, which is the constellation of Boots, which is the brightest star in the northern hemisphere. And Cephas, which is another constellation, is caught up to heaven. That's the crown, or the crown king caught up to heaven is another constellation. The eagle that the woman is fled into the wilderness, she has prepared for her an eagle, the wings of a great eagle that takes her into the wilderness. That's another constellation of stars. The water that the serpent lets out of its mouth is a constellation of stars. It's called Hydra, which is a water serpent. And then there's Ophiuchus, who handles the serpent and takes care of the serpent. And what you have to know is that you're looking at a body of stars. Now, what is the meaning of this? It is written in the Bible, and it's also written above in the stars. What is the meaning? Number one, something is getting ready to happen upon the earth, and this woman, who is a symbolic reference to the stars that we see and the energies that will impact the earth, is holding a vibration. She's holding a vibration with the sun, the moon, the stars, and the earth. She's holding a vibration with the sun, the moon, and the stars. She's clothed in the sun. Her vibration is synchronized, harmonized with the star, with the sun, with the moon, and with the stars. She's in cosmic harmony. She is not in conflict or discord or dissonance. She is resonating with cosmic vibration, cosmic frequency, because something is going on. Something is happening. Now, this is something that tells us, as we are approaching this particular period, that we must hold the vibration with the sun and the moon and the stars if we are to ascend with the planet. We must hold this vibration, which means that we must get in harmony with cosmic energies that are incoming to our planet from the various stars and from the cosmos and the alignments that are occurring right at this particular time in history. Why am I saying that? Because this particular time in history marks a very unique time that we've never seen before. It marks a very unique time. There are many people that are talking about it. Let me talk about some current events, first of all. First of all, the Pope is scheduled to come to the United States of America somewhere around the 21st of September. Something else is supposed to happen before then, which is Jade Ham 15. Which is coded 915, that is supposed to be the end of those exercises that began in March with Jade Ham. The Pope arrives. Now, he is arriving during the feast of, just before the feast, right at the Feast of Trumpets, which is followed by the Feast of Atonement, which is Yom Kippur, the Feast of Rosh Hashanah, and then the Feast of Yom Kippur, which is on the 23rd. Now, the Pope arrives, and he's in D.C. from the 22nd through the 23rd. Something is going on in the cosmos during this time, because these feasts are placed upon these particular equinoxes, or should I say Passover, first of all, happens at the spring equinox, when the earth is impacted by the energies of spring. Then in the fall equinox, where the other three feasts occur, which are the Feast of Trumpets, Feast of Atonement, and Feast of Tabernacles, or Feast of Booths. as they call it. So what you're looking at are the cosmic energies that are affecting the Earth. Now, the Pope is in harmony with these dates. You can call it a coincidence. You can call it maybe just chance, or say that nothing significant, it doesn't signal or indicate anything that's going on. I can't dismiss it that easily without raising my eyebrows, because he's here for a reason. Now, what that reason is, I don't know. What announcement he's going to get ready to make, there are many theories about it. But what I do know is that this is the fall equinox, and the energies that are going to impact the Earth at this particular time are very special energies based upon what's going to occur in the next few days. Now, the Pope will be in D.C. from the 22nd to the 23rd, and then on the 24th, the Pope will be in New York at the United Nations. And the 26th and the 27th, he's back in Philly. This is the year, some people say he's going to proclaim the year of Jubilee in December, but actually the year of Jubilee begins after the Feast of Atonement on the 23rd, and the Feast of Tabernacles begins, and the year of Jubilee is proclaimed. Now, how is this the year of Jubilee? This is the year of Jubilee because there have been 7 times 7 years, which comes out to 49, and 49 is a very significant number. Now, Isaac Newton played around with Bible prophecy and breaking the Bible code of the Daniel prophecy, or the 70 weeks, which were 70 weeks of years. And he saw something that happens on September the 23rd, 2015. Now, how Isaac Newton did that is a little complicated to get into and to talk about here. But my point that I want to drive home is that Isaac Newton was before 1967. And 1967 is a very, very important day. It's a very important day because in 1967, is not only was that a blood moon year, but it was also the year of the Six-Day War, when the Jewish people recaptured Jerusalem. And in their calendar, it wasn't 1967, it was 5,727. In their calendar, it was 5,727. 49 years from that particular date to 2015 makes their year 5,776, which brings us to the year 2015. It brings us to the year 2015. Now, coincidence? There is a pattern here that Yom Kippur, which is the end of the month of Tishri in the Hebrew calendar, marks 7 smitas, or 7 7-year period, which makes it a super smitah. Let me say that again. 7 smitas, or 7 times 7, which makes it a super smitah, from 1967, excuse me, to where we are now. Now, we have a super smitah going on. We have the Pope coming to stand in Washington, D.C., and to address on the 24th the United Nations and make some kind of announcement to the world. He is also going to Philadelphia the 26th and 27th. And it's in this time of this alignment where these particular days of the Jewish feast days are designated. And these feast days are designated upon cosmic precession, or it is designated upon these points of where we call cardinal points, where the spring and fall equinox are cardinal points. Cardinal points, cardinal in the Latin means a door. It means a gateway, a vortex, an opening. Now, what makes that important? What makes this important is that something in the energy that will impact the earth at this particular time, given a smita, super smita, 7 times 7, and not only 7 times 7, but 70 times 7, which makes it a grand jubilee, the jubilee of all jubilees, has precipitated the visit of the Pope to Washington, D.C. It's a little complex and a little complicated to talk about the ley line that exists along from New York all the way to Washington, D.C., with Baltimore, Philadelphia, etc. Now, this vortex or this opening during this particular equinox is going to be very impactful. Now, here comes CERN, this Hadron Collider or particle accelerator that the physicists are trying to beam into a particular vortex or opening in search of God knows what. I have my ideas about what they're doing, and I'm going to share them with you. And maybe some of you have more ideas about what's happening with CERN. Let me give you a little information about CERN. This particle accelerator is the largest and most complex machine we have on the planet. And it stands for the Council of European Research in Nuclear Physics. Now, this particular particle accelerator, it is about, the area is about 17 miles. And the symbol of this thing is 666. Their logo is 3 sixes. Can you believe that? A particle accelerator that can open a vortex at a particular time is symbol or logo is 666. And not only is it symbol and logo that of 666, but outside of the complex or in the complex is a large statue of Shiva, which is the Hindu goddess of destruction. I don't know what that means. I don't know if they're trying to frighten us, but you've got a lot of things coming together at one point. Now, it is said that this particular machine can open and bring in to our dimension antimatter or dark matter, which is invisible. Now, we've been taught in science that by Einstein that there was empty space, but we've come to know that there's no such thing now as empty space, that everything is connected to a quantum field, and there are filaments. There are invisible filaments, this dark matter that's coming in. Now, the thing about this is, if this number on CERN is 666, it falls right back into, I don't know, maybe these people are reading the Bible, because the very next chapter, after we discuss the woman in Revelation chapter 12, talks about a beast. Talks about a beast. And the beast that it talks about is has the appearance of a leopard, and then it has the feet of a bear and the mouth of a lion in chapter 13. And this beast is bent on bringing in a one-world government. A one-world government. Now, I'm going to give you the beast in the heavens, because the constellation, because the beast that you see is the lynx, because the lynx is a snow leopard that has spots that appear, and that is a constellation of stars. And the bear, we all very well know, is Ursa Major. And the lion, in this case, is not Leo, in the month of August and September, but it is Leo the Minor, which consists of four stars. And it's right at the feet of this woman, we talked about in Revelation chapter 12. In the heavens, it is right at the feet of the woman in the heavens. Now, this woman is said to be Israel. But this woman, as I said previous, is holding a vibration, a harmonious concert. She's holding the vibration with the sun, the moon, and the stars. Now, as she does this, she is protected. I'm getting into the solution to what's going on. Regardless, there are many theories about what is happening out there, what the CERN particle accelerator, what this Hadron Collider is going to do. It's going to shoot this beam of light, open a vortex, and all kinds of beings, aliens. Some people say that space, there are other beings that thrive on eating human beings and just love. They're going to come into this dimension, so forth and et cetera. Whatever the case may be, they seem to be very much aware of Scripture. They seem to be very much aware of the Bible because their logo is 666. This has to do with electromagnetism, people. This also has to do with matter and antimatter, and it also has to do with energy. It has to do with frequency and vibration because everything in our universe is frequency and vibration, including yourself. You are a wave that collapsed into a particle. That particle atom became a molecule, and those molecules made cells. And everything in this dimension is a wave of energy. And these people understand what Isaac Newton understood and what some others understood, what is called Prisca Theologia, which is the holy science. The holy science. I'm going to lose a lot of religious people here because they're going to be very much offended by the using the term science in the context of the Bible and religion. But what they fail to realize is that this book is a book of cosmology, as I've just proven. And I can continue to prove this through all of the stories that we read in our Bible are based upon cosmology. And those cosmological processions are impacting the Earth with certain energies. Now, the CERN particle accelerator, in my opinion, they are getting ready to try to harvest souls. That takes me into the third section of what I wanted to talk about. And that is the Blood Moon Tetrads. The Blood Moon Tetrads of 1493 and 94, 1949 and 50, 1967, there's that number again, Blood Moon. Four Blood Moons falling on these feast days in 2 years, falling on these respective feast days of the Passover and Yom Kippur in these years. Falling on these years were blood moons. And then, of course, 2014 and 15 are the finale. They are based upon cosmic energies. These feasts that fell on these days with blood moons were times, listen to this, of massive life loss or blood sacrifice. Massive. 1493, 1493, 94, massive blood sacrifice, loss of life through war. They can disguise it. They can put it in any kind of cold language they want, war, whatever they want to call it, but it's sacrifice. These people are involved in rituals that revolve around what's happening in the Prisca Theologia or the Holy Science based upon cosmic procession as these energies come into the earth. 1949 and 50, the Korean War, massive blood law, sacrifice. These people are planning these wars. Massive law. 1967, 68, Vietnam. Massive loss of life. Then, of course, 1968, highlighting or the hallmark culminating with the execution and the assassination of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Do not think for one moment that these people are not calculating on these energies and do not understand these cosmic processions and these energies. So what are they doing? Harvesting soul energies. Everything is energy. When these openings occur, and now we're at the Super Smita, which is seven, falling on a feast day of this opening, there is cosmic alignment, cosmic energies, and the CERN particle hadron collider accelerator shooting a beam of light into a particular vortex will open unprecedented perils. So how and what will they do? Will they be consistent with 1493, 94, 1949, 1950, 1967, 1968, 2014, 15? Will they be consistent going back to 2014, 1492, 93, 94? And I could take the blood moons back beyond that, but I just stopped at that particular date because those are dates we all should know what happened during those dates. To me, the false flag of 1492, 93, 94 was the exile of the Jews from Spain by Queen Isabella. To me, that was a false flag. 1949, of course, in 1948, the Balfour Treaty, which gave Israel the right to claim, or the Israelis to go back and to establish the Palestinian state. False flag in my mind. 1967, the Six-Day War, where the Israelis reclaimed Jerusalem. To me, false flag. Now, they say that it's not. I say that it is a false flag. It is a false flag because of the number of people that they killed. The number of people that were killed, the number of people that are killed, that were killed in Vietnam, the number of people that were killed, the false flag was the Six-Day War. But the sacrifice was Vietnam. 1948, 49, and 50, false flag, the Balfour Treaty, the blood sacrifice, the Korean War. 1493, 94, the exile of the Jewish people from Spain, false flag. The actual sacrifice was the papal bull handed to Christopher Colombo from the Roman Vatican to enslave people, and he began an onslaught, not as an explorer, but as a conquistador, who then started a slaughter that lasted for 40 years, and he executed between 12 and 25 million people, beginning at 12 to 25 million people sacrificed for the next 40 years. As I weigh this out, and the loss of life, and looking at these portals, and looking at these incidents, what will be the scenario? What will be the case with Pope coming to make an announcement to the UN 924, one day after Yom Kippur? What will be the effect? Now, some say that the Pope is entering inside of a particular geographic, geometric land shape because of the ley lines there, because of the energies to protect us. Some say that an asteroid is supposed to hit. There are many, many, many various things that people are saying that are supposed to happen on this day. But now, I don't want to leave you there. I want to take you back. I want to take you forward, first of all, to 666, which is a code, which has to do with frequency, and it has to do with the pineal gland. Matter of fact, 666 comes out to 9. and it has to do with the pineal gland, and it has to do with DNA. It has to do with DNA activation. It has to do with DNA activation by stimulating and activating the pineal gland. Now, how in the world are we going to do this? Now, this woman that's clothed with the sun, who's in harmony and vibrating and holding the vibration with cosmic energy, in order to do this, you need oil. Now, I'm going to take you to another passage in the Bible. I'm giving you the solution now. Now, regardless of what is going on, regardless of what is happening, what their intentions are, I'm going to give you the solution, what I believe to be the solution, because it's obvious that they've looked at this Bible. This woman received supernatural health. Now, I'm going back to Matthew chapter 25, and it says, then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins. There it is, again, 10 virgins. It throws you in to the constellation of Virgo. The constellation of Virgo. Here we are, likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. Well, who is the bridegroom? Psalm 19 tells us who the bridegroom is. And they that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them in their lamps. Now, this virgin, this woman in Revelation chapter 12, and these virgins that have oil in their lamps, is all a code. If you take it literally, people, you're going to miss it. Listen to me carefully. It's not literal. It is science. It's Prisca Theologia. It is the holy science. They are practicing holy science. They are practicing rituals based upon cosmic energies that are based upon cosmic or the precession of the equinox. Now, the oil is critical because we all have this oil in us, whether it has been denigrated, deteriorated, we all have it in us. Their goal with the CERN particle accelerator, the Hadron Collider, is to keep you at a certain vibration so that you cannot hold the vibration with cosmic energy. And I'm going to tell you how to do that tonight. I won't even charge you for it. I'm going to give it to you for free because we need to know this information. These versions, or Virgo, during which will be at the fall equinox, Virgo, which will be at the fall equinox, Virgo, to hold this vibration, you will need oil. Where will you get the oil from? In your body, from the pineal gland that secretes the oil. I'm almost there, people. I'm almost there. How do you get the oil? You can't go to Chevron or to your local service dealer. And get your, it's not Pennzoil, it's not 3-in-1 oil, it's the oil that comes from the colostrum of your brain that is differentiated at the pineal gland. Now, how do you activate that? I'm going to say this very, very simple. In the passage there that we've chosen, it tells you, listen to it carefully, and I think I may be able to finish this up. It says, and at midnight there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom comes. So now this oil is produced in darkness in the pineal gland. The pineal gland that is stimulated by sunlight but activated or secretes when there is no light, when it is shut off from light. This gland, pineal gland, secretes a wonderful oil, which means that you have to go into the darkness. I wish I had my brother Frank on here. I want to look for him to see. Not, I'll have to do it myself, to read and to show you that the darkness is your friend. And that in order to get this oil, you have to go into the darkness, the midnight, the dark, the midpoint of darkness and night, because this is when this wonderful oil of the pineal gland is secreted. Now, hold on one second. I'm going to read to you some passages that verify what I just said. Psalms 18 and 11 says, He made darkness His secret place, His pavilions round about Him were dark waters and thick clouds of the sky. That's Psalms 18 and 11. Isaiah 60, 1 and 2. Arise, shine, for thy light is come. That's the bridegroom. These are cosmic. Don't look at this in a religious sense. Look at this as the energies that are coming in. Listen to it carefully. Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be upon thee in the darkness. Amos 5 and 20. Listen to this. Shall not the day of the Lord be darkness and not light, even very dark and no brightness in it? Then spoke Solomon. The Lord said, He would dwell in thick darkness. Joel chapter 2, a day of darkness, of gloominess, a day of clouds, and of thick darkness. As the morning spreadeth upon the mountains, a great people and a strong. There had not been ever the light, neither shall there be any more after it, even to the years of many generations. Micah 7 and 8. Rejoice not against me, O mine enemy. When I fall, I shall rise. When I sit in darkness, the Lord shall be a light unto me. Isaiah 45 and 3. I will give thee the treasures of darkness and the hidden riches of secret places. That word secret means secrete. It's a code word. Don't go out trying to hit the lottery or trying to cash in your dinars or your dimes or your dials. It's not talking about that kind of treasure. The treasure that it's talking about is this precious oil that we all get when we go into the darkness, shut our rooms, close our eyes, and go into the darkness in meditation. And the pineal gland secretes this wonderful oil that now will help us to hold the vibration with the sun, the moon, and the stars. And no CERN particle accelerator can harm us. No war. Nothing of the sorts. I'm going to conclude by reading a passage out of the book of Joel. The book of Joel. And I don't mean to offend your sensibility, but here it is, this oil that we're talking about. This dark matter, this dark matter that they say that Einstein said was empty space. I'm going to show you in the Bible that this dark matter, the antimatter, that the CERN particle accelerator is trying to bring into this dimension. I want to show you the oil that you need to accelerate, or to, should I say, not accelerate, but to absorb these energies. Joel chapter 2. Listen to this. It says that, I'm in the wrong book here, getting ready to read the wrong thing. Okay, all right, Joel chapter 2. It says, and a day of darkness and of gloominess, a day of cloud and of thick darkness as a mountain, a great people and a strong people. Sounds like this woman. Sounds like the wise virgin. There had not been ever the light, neither shall there be any more after it, even the years of many generations. A fire devours before these people and behind them, a flame burns. The land is as the Garden of Eden before them, and behind them desolate wilderness. Yea, nothing shall escape them. The appearance of them is as the appearance of horses, and as horsemen, so shall they run. Like the noise of chariots, that word chariot there in verse 5 of chapter 2 is Merkabah, the Merkabah, vehicle of ascension. On the tops of mountains shall they also leap, and the noise of a flame of fire that devoureth the stubble, as a strong people set in battle array. There, the faces of the people shall be much pained, and all faces gather blackness. That's this dark matter, that this CERN particle accelerator, Hadron Collider, is opening to bring in this antimatter with particles or electrons or what is called positrons that are invisible particles that have a different spin and momentum from electrons, and you have electrons in your brain. To be able to absorb these, you must go into the darkness and allow this oil that is secreted by the pineal gland to bathe your body. The cellular and anatomical structure of your body must be bathed with this oil to be able to absorb these cosmic energies and the incoming particles that are coming. I've done my best to make this plain tonight. I've done my best to talk about both. There's much, much more we can talk about, but we're on a time frame. I'm going to close here and open up the Q&A. Staff, you talked back to me. Talk back to me if you can.
Q&A session started.
You can come in by pressing *6. Talk back to me tonight. Ladia, you usually kick us off. So
thank you, sir. I had an interesting phone call this afternoon from a lady in California, and she went to a conference over the weekend that George Norrie from Coast to Coast comes on at night. And they put on, I guess there was like 2,500 people there. And one of the guest speakers was talking about that a Jesuit. And he said the Pope's going to be announcing the Jubilee. And my question to her was, I wonder what this Jubilee looks like and exactly what they're going to be doing with that, because am I to believe that a Jesuit Pope, first time ever we have a Jesuit Pope in the Vatican, Mr. Bergoglio, a.k.a. Francis of Assisi. This man is one of the top people in the Jesuit organization, and he's actually going to give a good Jubilee, actually going to follow Hebrew tradition. I just can't wrap my mind around that. How about you, Dr. Khalifa?
Well, the Shemitah is the collapse every 7 years. Of relief through from 1966. When we had the 20% market drop, when we had a slow crash, 20%. And then in 1973, that was the oil shock crash at Roe versus Wade, 1973. 1980, 7 years later, we had a hard recession at the beginning of the Reagan administration. And then 1987, we had a stock market crash. 1994 was the bond market crash. And then in 2001, of course, we all know 9/11, and we had the stock market crash of 9/11. And of course, in 2008, we had the stock market crash of 777 points. Now, we have come to 2015. So consistently through of these smitas, a seven-year period, we've seen a collapse and an erasing and a kind of starting over. Here now, we are in a super, which means a 7 times 7, plus a 70 times 7, which is a grand jubilee. So there must be a redoing of, or a collapse of the system in my mind. This is in my mind. Let me hurry to say that. That the system that we're now in will collapse. It will be erased. So if the system collapses, then we will need a new system in its place. And therefore, in my mind, the Jubilee makes sense. So if it is
let me ask you a question. What's the last time that you can remember, because I know you're a serious history student, and when was the last time, can you tell us that there actually was a Jubilee? Because I can't remember in history, other than way back during biblical times.
The last time that there was a Jubilee, some would say that the beginning of the United States was a Jubilee.
Really? Okay, that didn't last long.
Some would say that the beginning of the real Jubilee was the beginning of the United States. Some would argue that at that point. But the Jubilee can be traced backwards. If you go back to 1967 again, to the establishment of what they call the Israeli state there in Israel, was a Jubilee. Because that was the mark of a seven-year period. And now we're seven times sevens from that. So that is how they are marking. And I just think I went back with the T-Tribes to 1492, when Christopher Columbus sailed the ocean blue. Okay? And those blood moons. And those blood moons.
And, well, you know,
And Europe came out of what we call the Dark Ages into the Renaissance or the Enlightenment, or which was the Renaissance was the Enlightenment, or the they call it because, you know, they had fallen, they were enlightened and they fell into darkness and went through a dark,
right,
we call the Dark Ages, right, came out of that, so they were Europe was re-educated.
By the Moors, I might ask, Africans.
Yeah, by the Moors.
Mm-hmm. You know, interestingly, you bring up Israel, because at the time Israel was formed. I just read an article an hour ago saying that there are major corporations all over the world that are boycotting Israel now, and Obama just extended it another 6 months, as what's been the case since Clinton, of not putting a embassy in Jerusalem, because they say that the current prime minister, which is Netanyahu, has no intention of a two-state reformation over there in the Middle East, where, you know, that's the hot spot between Palestine and Israel. So
I have no reason to believe that this Jubilee would not be genuine. I have no reason to believe. Can you hear me? I thought I heard some background noise.
Yes, got about 2 minutes.
Okay, 2 minutes.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
I have no reason to believe that the imposters who call themselves Israel will not be displaced, and the true Israel will be experienced a Jubilee. Have no reason not to believe that.
Well, that's very encouraging news, sir. Very encouraging.
Have no reason not to believe that. I believe that these evil people who have persecuted, created wars, financed both sides of the war, both opposing forces for centuries, I have no reason to believe that these people will not come out of power and that the world will experience freedom, liberation, and Jubilee. That is my
hope. It certainly seems to be mounting that way. Do you want to go ahead and give the numbers out for people on the DBS side to join us?
Why don't you do it and do run the shoot? Why don't you do it and take us over to the question and answer, the Q&A.
You do that to me, huh? Okay. All you great folks over here at DBS Radio, if you'd like to join us on the panel for Q&A, you can do so by dialing 712-775-7085. And the participation code is 568-788-POUND. And we'll see
you
on the other side.
Don't touch that down.
Yes.
Listen to this music. Don't touch that down. All right, set it.